You are listening to the Galena Missions Podcast, the preaching ministry of Galena Bible Church. Follow along as we study God's Word together.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Forgive my cold a little bit. I'm not usually quite this bass, but maybe you can hear me good anyway. So thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to be here and to share with you. Honestly, I didn't come to do this. I came to see the new grandson, but always glad to get a chance to share. So Chris asked, I said, let me think about it. A few minutes later, I thought, well, why not? Should be ready to do this. And it's my first time to be to Alaska, so my first time to get to share in Alaska. So I'm grateful for the opportunity. This morning, I want to share from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. I think a familiar passage that you probably know, but I'd like to begin by us asking ourselves a question this morning. And then we're going to look at what the Word of God says. Actually, some of the songs said some very clear statements that are in the Scripture today, particularly about our sin and how our sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And so we're going to look at that a little bit in detail this morning. So, what are you doing here today? That's my question. Why did you come to church this morning? Why do you come to church every week? Is it out of duty? Because people expect you to come? That's not bad. Maybe it's just a habit. It's what you do on Sunday. Maybe you're looking for something. Maybe you actually like the people here. And you come to be with friends. That's also okay. That's good. You know, maybe you like the food. The food was pretty good last week. We'll see about this week. But there's a lot of reasons we can come that are not bad reasons, but the Scripture would lead us to think about why we worship God. And this morning I want to look at, really, foundationally, how we're able to worship God, and then why we worship God, and then what at least one of the results of worshiping God should be in our lives. And it's in this passage in Hebrews chapter 10. As followers of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we, as followers of Jesus, come to worship Him, to honor Him, to know Him, to come into His presence. That's really what this is about. We're coming into the presence of God. Now, I know that God is with us in our hearts everywhere, but there's something special about the coming together and abiding together. We come to reaffirm our faith and hope in Christ. We come to strengthen our hold on our faith in Jesus Christ. Not that His hold is not strong on us. John 10, 28 and 29 says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and you are in my hands and no one can pluck you out of my hands. We sang about that a little while ago. And my Father and I are the same, and you are in the Father's hand, and no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. So we are secure in Jesus, but we know that sometimes in our walk of faith, we wander in that. And so we come to church so that we might reaffirm our confession in Jesus Christ, and we might grow in that. We come to be together with a purpose. We gather on purpose. I like to say we gather on purpose so that we might scatter on purpose. That's the very reason of what we do here. So in the Old Testament, which is really what Hebrews is about, we have the foundation for this. In the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, once a year, the high priest, who was a select man, selected by God, would go into the Holy of Holies. There was the holy place, and it was divided two-thirds and one-third, and the back third was the holy place where the Spirit of God dwelt, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and where the high priest would go once a year, and there he would take the sacrificed blood, and he would shed blood as a sacrifice, first for himself, that's important, and then for others. And it was so holy and so significant, as he went behind the veil that separated the Holy of Holies, that they would tie a rope around his leg, so that if he died of a heart attack when he was in there, nobody could go in and get him. They'd have to pull him out by the rope. Because only he was allowed to go. Only one man could go in and do that. That's significant. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 is about this issue of holiness. It's about what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. It says, we're going to read these separately, but in verses 19 through 22, it says, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place." You see it? Isn't that amazing? In the old way, only one man could go in. And if he died, they had to pull him out by a rope. No one else could do it. But you and I come here today, we come here to worship the God, and we have confidence to enter that holy place. Why? By the blood of Jesus Christ. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. See, this is a new and living way, which he inaugurated, which he started for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a priest over the house of God, let us, this is our invitation, let us draw near with sincere hearts of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is an amazing new and living way because of Jesus. Look at these verses before this. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. According to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of Christ's blood, we have no confidence to enter into the presence of God. Look then at verse 24. It says, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." This is a new way. This is a living way. You see, Jesus not only died for our sins on the cross and was buried, but he rose again and he ascended to heaven. And that is the true Holy of Holies. That's the true presence of God. And you and I have permission, actually we're commanded here, to draw near to God because of what Jesus did. Look at verses, one more, verses 10 through, chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. "By this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God." The day of Pentecost, the day of atonement, the priest would go in and he would sacrifice sin for himself and then for others, and he had to be repeated every year. But when Jesus did it, he didn't do it for himself. Jesus was without sin. Jesus was the only God-man sacrifice that could atone for our sins. And he shed his blood for us. And he didn't enter into a tabernacle, but he entered into the very presence of God. And the scripture says, I thought I had the scripture written down. The scripture says in Matthew that when Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus said, and he gave up his spirit, then it says what? And the veil rent in two from top to bottom. No longer was there a separation. Now that the very presence of God is opened up to us, not by the veil, but by his flesh, Jesus Christ. So as we come to Jesus Christ in faith and he forgives our sins, then we have his blood applied to us and we are atoned, we are forgiven. And we are invited, as it says here, with confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have confidence to enter because of the blood of Jesus. This is a new way, a living way, started for us by Jesus as he became the veil. We are invited to come to the Father. I hope when you come to church every week, part of what you're doing is coming to worship the God who saved you, the God who loved you, the God who gave his life for you. You know, a lot of times we don't even think about it. We just get up and go to church. But this is foundational to why we come here. It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. You know that story, right? The prodigal son was like us. He was a son of the father. And he couldn't wait for his father to die. Actually, he wished his father was dying. He said, I don't want to wait for you to die. Since you won't die, just go ahead and give me my inheritance. And so his father gave him his inheritance, which was the third because he was the second son. And then it says he went far away. Significant picture in that. He wandered far from God, and he wandered far from the way he should live. He was living in sin and doing all kinds of things, and he wasted all his money. And finally there was a famine, and he found himself literally wanting to eat the pig's food that he was feeding the pigs. But there's a very interesting part in that story. It says, as he was lying there about to die of hunger, it says he came to himself. He thought about it. And it says, you know, I can go to my Heavenly Father. He didn't say Heavenly Father, but that's the picture for us. He said, I'll go to my Father, and at least when I go to my Father, I can be His servant. And there's plenty of bread and food there. And so the best part of this story is as the prodigal son goes back to his father is waiting for him, and he sees him from afar. And as he draws near to the father runs to him and embraces him and restores him as his son. That's exactly what happens to us. As we are far from God because of our sin. And as we're in our sins, we're far from God. Maybe we don't sense the distance, but there is a great gulf between us and God because God demands holiness. And as we understand, as we think about it, we realize that Jesus Christ has paid the price. And when we come to Jesus, we can come to the Father. We can have forgiveness. That bridge can be gapped and we become the children of God. We draw near to God. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will what? Draw near to you. You just take a step towards Him today and He's ready to run to you and embrace you and forgive you. Some people don't come into the presence of God because they don't know Him. Some of them would say they don't even want to know Him. Some, because they feel dirty or guilty or ashamed. Where's everybody else this morning? I don't know how many you usually run, but I imagine there's a few other people in this town that are followers of Jesus, but they chose not to be here this morning. Where are they at? Well, that reminds me of another story that I'm guilty of telling several times, but I remember when I turned 16 years old, I got my driver's license. My dad was a mechanic, so we always had cars around. We had this old 56 Chevy that we fixed up, took the column shift because that wasn't cool, and put it on the floor. And I used to drive it up and down the street and got our permit at 15 and a half. And the day you're 16, you get your license. And then you feel a lot of freedom. And I remember going out on the town one night, not doing anything, just running around. But I took my little brother, who was 13, with me. And we just were playing around. We weren't doing anything bad, except we didn't get home till about 1 a.m. And the scary thing was, when we got home, my dad's car was no longer home. So you know what that meant? Dad's out looking for me. That was bad. And I remember going in my bed. I won't tell you all that story, but I was in the back bedroom, and we lived on not really a farm. We had one cow and a few things like that, but a garden. But we had a gravel driveway. It's probably still gravel. And I can remember laying in bed with my quilt over me and hearing my dad's car come into the driveway. What do you think I did? You think I ran to the front door and said, hello, Father, so glad to see you. That's why some people aren't here this morning. I hid under my quilt and hoped that my dad would fall asleep before he walked down the hallway. It didn't turn out too well. But it'll turn out well with our Heavenly Father because He has already paid the price for our sins. And our hearts are clean. Even though we go on sinning, He has cleansed us of that sin. He has already finished the work. It's not about what we do. It's about what He has done. And we have salvation in Him for all of eternity. We need to understand that. There's an invitation. Let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to Him. Some don't come because they're confused about the community of faith and they need to understand it better. But our hearts are clean. This gives us confidence to draw near to God and to worship Him. We go from far away from God into His presence. Well, let's read the next verses there, because not only is there an invitation, let us draw near, because the foundation is that Jesus died on the cross for us and opened up the very presence of God. And that's why we can come here week after week and truly worship Him. But not only do our hearts need to be clean, but the next section I say we need to have our hands closed around the right thing. Let us hold fast. In verse 23 he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Have our hands closed, secure, no doubt, because of who Jesus is. Sometimes we run to the wrong things. Sometimes we hang on to tradition or money or friends or all kinds of things. You know, we all have kind of a default that when we get in trouble or we have a struggle, that we hang on to something, we go back to something. Some of the bad tapes that are playing in our minds from our past. But we come to church every Sunday morning not only to worship God, but to remind ourselves of who is faithful in our life and who Jesus Christ is, and that we have proclaimed Him as our Lord and Savior. We hold on to our confession of hope. Again, not in what we have done, but what He has done and who He is. We hold fast. The idea here is that you're in a storm and you're being tossed to and fro. And what do you hang on to? You need an anchor to hang on to. So I hope as you come to church here week after week, you find that you can renew that faith. You can renew that anchor. You're holding on again. You're being reminded of the faith that you have already placed in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom you are called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't speak Greek. Someone said maybe I could pray in Greek. I can't pray in Greek, but I can pray in Swahili because of 18 years in Africa. But one of my favorite words in Swahili is kusimama imara. Kusimama imara. It means to stand firm. Stand strong. And that's what we do. We come together every Sunday so that we might stand strong and firm in our faith in Jesus Christ, who is faithful to the end. We move from hopelessness to being steadfast and sure, solid and unwavering. Let me read Ephesians 4. If you want to turn there, take me a minute. Ephesians 4, verses 13, 14, and 15. Until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what we come for. To a mature man. We come so that we might hold on to our faith, that we might grow in our faith, that we might be mature. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. That's what that's about. That's about holding fast our confession of hope, our confession of faith, our hope in Jesus Christ and who He is. What He says He will do. It is about who He is. And even if we lose our grip, He will not. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. It's about Jesus. Let us draw near to God. That's how we can do that. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But let's do it so that we might hold fast. Let us hold fast our confession of hope. But then, Hebrews 24 to 25, you've read, I'm sure you've heard these before. Let us, this is the third let us. First was let us draw near, then was let us hold fast, and now it's let us consider, let us think about. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Some translations say, let us consider how to stir up one another. So I hope you're not one that stirs up trouble, but he's specific about what we should stir up here. But we should be nudging one another. We should be pushing one another. We should be encouraging one another to love and good deeds. So I say we not only have our hearts clean, we have our hands closed around the right things, but we have our heads clear. We think about it. This is a intentional thing we do. We think about how we do this, why we do it. First, we must be intentional. That's what he's saying when he says, let us consider. Let's be intentional about what we do. Secondly, he says, let us be others focused. Let it be about others. Like Philippians chapter 2. Think not just the interest of yourself, but also of the interest of others. Be humble like Christ was humble and serve others before yourself. We need to be others focused. We need to be together, united, focused as believers. And we need to be encouraging one another. Not gossiping, not critical, but positive, a blessing to one another. So, let's think about it this morning. How do we encourage one another? How do we serve one another? How do we come together as a group like this to celebrate? We need to come together in small groups to challenge and encourage one another. I think for this really to happen, we have to pray together. I've been a Christian a long time. If I tell you, you'll guess how old I am, but that's all right. I became a believer when I was 8 years old, and now I'm 63, so I've been a Christian for a little while. But I think the best growing situation for me in my faith is when I'm in a small group, hearing people share the needs of their hearts and their praises of the God they serve, and then together on our knees praying to God, for one another and to God. That's where it happens. It really is. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. How do we do that? We do that not only just in a big group that we do every week, which is the right thing to do. He says it right here. Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. But you do that so you might encourage one another to love and good deeds. And it takes a more intentional approach for that to happen. I don't know how many small groups you have, but if you don't have them, have them. If you don't have them, go to each other's house and pray with each other. And share your real needs, because you can't really do this unless you know one another. This is the Word of God. It says, let us consider, think about how we can encourage and stimulate one another. And then we not only gather, but we go together to proclaim God's truth in love and good deeds. The theme here is together. So we have this individual, it sounds like, call to draw near to God. And then as we gather together, we together begin to hold on to the truth of our confession. We hold fast to it. But then it moves quickly to, this is something that we consider that we do together as we live it out in the community and in each other's lives. I like the way this comes down, because we all like 1 Corinthians 13:13, right? But now abides faith, hope, love. These three points just there. The cross in verse 22 says, with full assurance of faith, we have communion with God. Verse 23 says, the confession of our hope as we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And now in verse 24 is love. Says to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's us as a community. The cross, our confession, the community, faith, hope, love. Some of us have claimed the cross and we've been drawn close to God. We've prayed a prayer of repentance, asking God to cleanse us of our sins. And we are now children of God. If you've never done that in your life, that's God's first invitation to you this morning. He says, draw near to me. I've opened the way for you. I've done everything that's needed to do. There's nothing for you to do. All you have to do is with full assurance, come to me. We have confidence in the work of Christ. Some here have not yet found that new and living way, that sincere saving faith. If not, you need to claim it today. Others have wandered from their faith. Are you wavering in your walk with Christ? Are you holding firm? When you face the storms of life, when you face all the arrows of the devil out there in the world, are you holding on to the right thing? Are you holding on to the hope that you have in Jesus Christ? Run back to Him who is faithful. If you're wandering this morning, run back to Him who is faithful and hold firm onto Him. Some people are thinking they can go it alone. They've forsaken the community of faith. Don't forsake Christ. Don't forsake your faith. Don't forsake your church, your assembly, your assembling together. We have a responsibility to repent and find forgiveness. Give our hearts to Christ so that He might cleanse us. We have a responsibility to stand strong and not waver. Get our hands firm on the right things. We have the right responsibility to think about one another and to act in and as a community, to have our heads clear about one another. They made reference to the fact that the last 4 years or so we've worked with Afghan refugees. And it's an interesting journey, because as they come to us, we sit in a room. We were 2 or 3 days a week, we were feeding 250 people at our center. We'd have 55 of them at a time around tables in our rooms. Probably 90% of them Afghans. About 90% of those were one tribe that's persecuted there. And they're really people without hope. They are far from God. They're far from their community. They have very little to cling to. We give them a cup of soup and some clean socks, but what they really need is Jesus Christ more than anything else. And we are committed to acts of love in word and deed, that we might draw them in to faith in Christ. You know, we need to draw near in faith. We need to hold fast our confession unwavering. We need to come to church every week, worship God, honor Him, read His Word, pray, hear the preaching of His Word, sing the truths like we sang today, and consider one another to love and good deeds. So we look up, we worship God. We look to the songs and the preaching, and we are encouraged to hold fast to our faith. But let's make sure we look left and right and behind us, in front of us, to consider who's around us and how we might encourage one another in our faith. Let's consider one another to love and good deeds. Let's encourage one another. Let's bless one another. Let's serve one another. Let's come together in big groups to celebrate. Let's come together in small groups to challenge and encourage one another. Let's go together to proclaim God's truth in love and deeds. One last trite illustration, but I can't resist it because football season's opening this week. So many churches are like a football team that huddles up all the time but never runs a play. Now, how many of you would want to watch that on TV? It's not enough that we huddle up. We got to run some plays. We have to be intentional in how we stir up one another, how we serve one another, and how we do that in the community around us. So, the Scripture says, don't ever forsake huddling up. It's an important part of it. But huddle up on purpose that we might accomplish the call of God in our life to reach the lost world around us. Let me pray with you as we close. Father God, thank You so much that You have started a new and living way. You inaugurated it. You chose, Christ, You chose to die on the cross because we needed that. We could not save ourselves. The old way was not enough. But You once for all paid the price in dying for our sins. And so we pray and thank You that we have an open invitation with cleansed hearts, with full assurance of faith, to draw near to You. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they recognize what Christ did for them on the cross. And they would say, yes, Father, forgive me. Be Lord of my life. And they would come into Your presence. Father, help us to go out of here firm in our faith, not because of who we are, but because of who You are as the faithful God in our lives. Father, help us, even as we have this meal together, that we might notice one another, that we might encourage one another, that we might stir up one another, that we might make a difference in this community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've been blessed by the hearing of God's Word. Feel free to connect with us at www.galenabiblechurchak.com and subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or at galenamissions.podbean.com.